I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were
racist.
He said
you were racist.
He said he was.
You are very racist.
He said he was.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he was.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Wednesday, September 1, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. 10 days away from the 20th anniversary of a day that will forever live in infamy. And this date, 9/11, is a day that... bad guys seem to really adore. They're very fond of this day throughout history. I've mentioned some of the things that have happened historically. You can go to some of the mainstream historical sites and see some of the things that are just astonishing coincidences throughout the years that happen on September 11. It's a big day. And, you know, these numbers are esoterically significant without getting into all of that. I've been reading from John T. Flynn's The Roosevelt Myth. And there was another book published, I believe, in 1944 by John T. Flynn, As We Go Marching. And this was the... Well, the Mises book description reads, John T. Flynn's classic work from 1944 on how wartime planning brought fascism to America. What? Yeah, you know, we got those fascies on the dime and stuff like that in Congress. And in some ways, this is the finest and most mature of all his works. It was written in wartime, and his points were profoundly cutting. After all, the U.S. was supposedly fighting the total state abroad. But meanwhile, at home, was drafting people, controlling all prices and wages, rationing all goods, and enforcing a wicked central plan through massive government coercion. But thank goodness that's all changed, and we don't, you know, the spirit of totalitarianism has abated. And we're, oh wait, it hasn't? So continuing the book description, were we becoming what we were supposedly fighting? Flynn said yes. The war on dictatorship abroad was bringing about dictatorship at home, which is what – that's a maxim of history that guys like James Madison warned us about. Flynn was a prominent journalist and a rare case of an American public intellectual who resisted the onslaught of both the warfare and welfare states during the period in which FDR ruled America. This study links the domestic policy of the New Deal with the drive for war and wartime central planning. He draws attention to the bitter irony that America was becoming precisely what we were fighting. His analysis of fascism is incisive and devastating. Though American conservatives and liberals, parenthetically, have ignored this book and its lessons, it speaks of truths for the ages. His comparisons of the Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin regimes with what was taking place in the United States are truly unforgettable. Flynn was not just a journalist, but a real scholar and a moral critic of the police state. There is a reason why this great book is a classic of libertarian literature. And so, you know, that's one to add to the collection. And the writing of the historical record, writing, R-I-G-H-T, the, and I suppose W-R-I-T-I-N-G. The correcting of the historical landscape as it has been adulterated by the historical revisionists, the propagandists, and the Rockefeller-Rothschild stable to, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations that writes history for us. No, it's a patently collectivist history. That's all there is. You know, there is no individual. And that's something I want to get into a little bit today. Maybe we should start with, I was thinking about starting with old Ronnie Reagan and A Time for Choosing Again. Man, it's all in there. Such a great speech. He called it the speech. And it's a speech that, I don't know, maybe we should play it in its entirety. That we should, I think, all sort of be familiar with. These sections of it, you know. We haven't balanced our budget. As for the peace that we would preserve, government is beholden to the people. Government's involvement in the farm economy and everything else for that matter. The assault on freedom carries on. The need grows greater. The program grows greater. What are we doing to those who seek help? Barry Goldwater thinks we can. No government ever voluntarily reduces itself. Democratic opponents seem unwilling to debate. Perhaps there is a simple answer. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. So, no government ever voluntarily reduces itself. I mentioned that yesterday, that little bit, and so there was that. What was the other? Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe we'll play this little excerpt of Ronnie. And see if this sounds familiar. This is patently un-American, but who remembers that? Because again, in Orwellian fashion, there is no history. No one remembers. Let's see. it. So no government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. So tell me if this rings a bell. Again, Ronald Reagan, 1964, what he called the speech has become known as A Time for Choosing. This is on the presidential campaign trail, campaigning for Barry Goldwater. So give this a listen. Go ahead, please.
No government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. So government programs, once launched, never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see on this earth. Federal employees, number 2.5 million. And federal, state, and local, 1 out of 6 of the nation's workforce employed by government. These proliferating bureaus with their thousands of regulations have cost us many of our constitutional safeguards. How many of us realize that today federal agents can invade a man's property without a warrant? They can impose a fine without a formal hearing, let alone a trial by jury. And they can seize and sell his property at auction to enforce the payment of that fine. In Chico County, Arkansas, James Weir overplanted his rice allotment. The government obtained a $17,000 judgment, and a U.S. Marshal sold his 960-acre farm at auction. The government said it was necessary as a warning to others to make the system work. Last February 19th at the University of Minnesota, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said if Barry Goldwater became president, he would stop the advance of socialism in the United States. I think that's exactly what he will do. But as a former Democrat, I can tell you Norman Thomas isn't the only man who has drawn this parallel to socialism with the present administration. Because back in 1936, Mr. Democrat himself, Al Smith, a great American, came before the American people and charged that the leadership of his party was taking the party of Jefferson, Jackson, and Cleveland down the road under the banners of Marx, Lenin, and Stalin. And he walked away from his party and he never returned till the day he died. Because to this day, the leadership of that party has been taking that party, that honorable party, down the road in the image of the Labor Socialist Party of England. Now, it doesn't require expropriation or confiscation of private property or business to impose socialism on a people. What does it mean whether you hold the deed to the or the title to your business or property if the government holds the power of life and death over that business or property? And such machinery already exists. The government can find some charge to bring against any concern it chooses to prosecute. Every businessman has his own tale of harassment. Somewhere a perversion has taken place. Our natural unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
There you go. I mean, does that not sound familiar? I don't know about you, but it sounds awfully familiar to me. Some 57 years later, is that an accident or a coincidence? Nearly 3 generations later, what Ronald Reagan described there in that speech has advanced, even though it is antithetical to all we, at one point anyway, grew up learning and believing this, you know, great American experiment represented. We don't learn much about that. We hear kind of the slogans and things, but we don't learn the substantive basis of it. And there's more, you know, again, speaking of Adams talking about Otis and the greatest, one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. I'm reminded of the ecclesiastical aspect of the battle being waged. So from here, you know, Reagan mentioned some of the totalitarians in our midst, which reminds me of, let's see, someone else wrote about the totalitarians in our midst. That was Friedrich Hayek. That's chapter 13 of The Road to Serfdom. So I want to draw from that for a moment, but first, chapter 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism. It is a common mistake to regard National Socialism as a mere revolt against reason, an irrational movement without intellectual background. If that were so, the movement would be much less dangerous than it is. It's so, again, it's the planning and it's the enticing of folks into something. You can, if you can, you know, I think it was Garfield who was talking about how, you know, if you can manipulate the economy, it's no secret how booms, cycles of boom and bust are created. And then he was, you know, assassinated shortly thereafter. But if you can do that, and you can do it in such a subtle, imperceptible way that the, or, you know, Clark's third law is in effect, you know, either or both, and or, I suppose, you know, that any sufficiently advanced economic manipulation is indistinguishable from magic, then you can do that and the people don't know, and then you create a problem to which you foment a reaction because you can control the press and so forth. There is a thing, you know, MSN and NBC, MSNBC. So who is the MSN part of predominantly? Who represents the MSN part of MSNBC? You can foment a reaction to a problem you cause, essentially, and then say, this is the only solution, follow me, as a Judas goat, you know, a Pied Piper leading people down the path, the primrose path of destruction. And people are none the wiser, and you can entice them with, you know, free goodies. Well, we have this problem, you're experiencing hardship, let's give you some free money. You know what? There's this pandemic going around, allegedly, and I'll tell you what, we'll give you free vaccines. That's not enough. How about free donuts? How about a gift card, free coffee cards, free donuts? You get a, there are some folks like Greg Gutfeld, for example, who have recently talked about the weight gain for people that has actually probably contributed to health problems. Staying locked inside at home probably contributes to health problems. I'm pretty sure Dunkin' Donuts doesn't help that. Free vaccines. You get free vaccines and donuts and coffee? What? So you entice people with free goodies. So anyway, continuing from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism. It is a common mistake to regard National Socialism as a mere revolt against reason, an irrational movement without intellectual background. If that were so, the movement would be much less dangerous than it is. But nothing could be further from the truth or more misleading. The doctrines of National Socialism are the culmination of a long evolution of thought, a process in which thinkers who have had great influence far beyond the confines of Germany have taken part. Whatever one may think of the premises from which they started, it cannot be denied that the men who produced the new doctrines were powerful writers who left the impress of their ideas on the whole of European thought. Their system was developed with ruthless consistency. Once one accepts the premises from which it starts, there is no escape from its logic. It is simply collectivism freed from all traces of an individualist tradition which might hamper its realization. And I would say in simple terms, the planners want to plan, and of course planning requires execution. And so how do you do that? Well, you entice people with free goodies. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
From Professor Paul H. Fry, you know, that little video you can watch, the Yale courses, Introduction to Theory of Literature, English 300. We play that clip from time to time, you know, Professor Paul H. Fry saying, as we get into social perspectives on literature and art, you may ask yourself out of idle curiosity, or perhaps even peevishly, why Marx? Why so much Marx? Why is it Marx? And so I feel like saying kind of the same thing when it comes to Johann Gottlieb Fichte. When it comes to, you know, as we get into social perspectives on politics and sociology and anthropology, why so much, you may ask yourself out of idle curiosity or perhaps even peevishly, why so much Fichte? Why was Bertrand Russell so enamored with Fichte? And in my simple, humble estimation, Fichte sort of represents the Machiavellian bent, this sort of culmination of thought that was then sort of distilled, curated, articulated by the thing attributed to Marx and Engels. It's this world government concept. You know, basically the devil's, you know, plan that has been synthesized in all of these folks, all of these names throughout the last couple hundred, 200-300 years or so in particular. And so he's the you know, when Pike writes a letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871, and says, "We shall unleash the nihilist and the atheist." Basically, it's, you know, he's saying we're going to unleash Fichte on them, Johann Gottlieb Fichte, this nihilistic atheist who actually got in trouble, you know, dismissed from University of Jena for his atheism, and in a time when that was not popular. And, you know, he actually was writing about this idea of world government. And guys like Spartacus, Adam Weishaupt, and his co-conspirator, the guy who changed his name to his daddy's money-changing business, Rothschild, they conspired in similar fashion to make that sort of thing a reality. And so, again, you know, it's like, I don't know, the dance of the philosophers. This is a dance of the totalitarians, sort of. The flavors may change, the song may change, the dance partners may change, but, you know, effectively it's the same program. So Fichte is kind of the central figure in all of this, but it's ironic. You know, this guy that, again, as even Wikipedia notes, is the originator of this concept of thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or at least he's the one, you know, who I would say revealed it from behind the veil. I think it's the devil's idea. You know, if you can get people away from a didactic model of thinking, there's right and wrong. You know, we used to hear those, you know, Aesop's fables or whatever. You know, we would hear these stories, and the moral of the story is, don't do that because that's stupid. Do this because, you know, obviously this is. And now we don't have that anymore. Have you noticed we don't have those now? People are writing rainbow-colored books for children and things that are inappropriate for children and adults. Inappropriate for adults, let alone children. And we've lost our didactic way. Now we are, seems we are, you know, fully immersed in the dialectic continuum. So it's funny, this guy who originated that is not remembered for that and many other things. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So, to the phones in a second. First, why is this stuff important? Well, you know, this guy is sort of occluded from history. Why is this guy occluded from history? It's sort of the distillation of lots of ideas. Guys like Immanuel Kant, Baruch Spinoza. You know, what does Michio Kaku mean? Guys like Michio Kaku, when they say, "I believe in the God of Spinoza," they're referring to that character that Charles Baudelaire wrote, whose finest trick is to persuade you that he does not exist. So that's why Fitta is occluded, because if you read Fitta, you know, if you start reading Russell and you get into Fitta, then you realize that these are the same old stupid arguments that have been made for quite some time. And just like Friedrich Hayek points out, you know, once you start getting in, once you get into this warped line of thinking, and you buy into it, you know, like Hayek wrote, you know, their system was developed with ruthless consistency. Once one accepts the premises from which it starts, there is no escape from its logic. It is simply collectivism freed from all traces of an individualist tradition, which might hamper its realization. And, you know, you really, I mean, you can make the argument, well, except for the ruling caste, right? The ruling oligarchy. But really, you know, they will sacrifice themselves many times because the end justifies the means. And so I will, you know, die for the greater good and all this kind of nonsense. Anyway, that's why it's important, because you see the same stupid arguments being made historically. And if you are aware of those things, then you're not taken in by it. Like Hoover said concerning communism back in the 50s. Anyway, I want to come back to this, Chapter 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism, from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, and then, of course, Chapter 13, The Totalitarians in Our Midst. I wanted to do that because Reagan, in his Time for Choosing speech, does that, sort of calls out the charlatans. Hayek does it in Chapter 13, and I think we can do the same sort of thing today. I've talked about the National Security Advisor position. It's interesting that right now we see a lot of discussion about Afghanistan, obviously, especially because of what's supposed to happen in 10 days and what has been happening recently, obviously. But I think it's sort of a painful irony that no one mentions, for example, Brzezinski and, Operation Cyclone specifically. But speaking of the National Security Advisor position, Larry sent me this. What was this? Yesterday afternoon, an entry from the Trenches World Report, titled "Biden NSA National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan Doesn't Rule Out Giving Aid Directly to the Taliban." Of course, the ghost of Brzezinski lives on. But why would you do that? Well, you know, I think maybe we should listen to the admonitions of someone like Alan Watt and just kind of leave it at, for the moment, there's the good reason and the real reason, right? Why would you do that? And the good reason doesn't make sense. But the real reason is to continue to foment chaos. And, another thing that's a curious sort of important detail in the discussion that's left out is a fact that I've mentioned. Ryan Grimm wrote about the fact that the Taliban tried to surrender, and Anand Gopal's book, No Good Men Among the Living, America, the Taliban, and the War Through Afghan Eyes. So in Ryan Grimm's Intercept article back in 2017, it was titled, "The Taliban Tried to Surrender and the U.S. Rebuffed Them. Now here we are. Donald Trump is about to repeat the same mistakes the U.S. has already made in its never-ending war in Afghanistan." And so this is, you know, again, it's just a curious omission in the historical discussion. Enough about that. To the phones, Andrew in Connecticut, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris, could you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was actually calling about the all the mandatory vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little bit of success. I'm a university professor. I teach at a lot of different schools, and as you can imagine, I'm getting put through the ringer. I reached out to an organization. If it's okay, I think you should know about them and your listeners, too, because they helped me. They helped other people as well obtain religious exemptions. It's a group. It's called We the Patriots USA.org. And the guy's name, you should probably reach me. I'll perhaps reach out to him. He'd probably love to talk. His name is Brian Festa. He's an attorney in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But he also has a team of... have you ever heard of Norm Pattis?
Yes.
Yeah, he's part of his team as well. He's kind of... You would know him if... your listeners would know him if they saw him. He's a big... almost like a hippie, older guy, but he looks kind of like a hippie attorney. He's very good at a lot of civil lawsuits. They're taking on a class action lawsuit against the recent Connecticut... getting rid of the religious exemptions for schools and students. But these guys helped me a lot, and the schools really, a lot of the schools really put me through the grind.
I'll bet.
I think, you know, the religious exemption is really the way to go. And a lot of times they'll ask you, like, to fill out a survey, like, which one, like, check, do, like, a declaration. And the way that they do this, the options, is like maybe six or seven options. You have to really read it carefully. I actually... almost checked the wrong box, and I said, let me have Brian look at this before I check it. He looked at it, oh, make sure you check this box. They're trying to really trick you up. Mm-hmm. But I've been listening to RBM since 2004. You know, and the wins that we get are far and few between.
Yeah,
but this group, they really do help. So I just thought I would share that with you and your audience.
Very cool. Well, I hope that's a genuine victory, and it sounds like it is, and that's fantastic. So, very cool. Thank you very much for sharing.
I think it's a victory until the Supreme Court rules, you know, says that Title VII doesn't apply in case of emergency, right? I mean, that's kind of the next mm-hmm. time. But as long as Title VII upholds religious exemption. And don't try to, if they ask you to write a letter, you know, like stating your reasons, mm-hmm. don't try to go it alone. I mean, go to We the Patriots. They'll help you write the letter. Make sure it's basically, it's a legal document, right? It's going to be Exhibit A if you try to file a lawsuit. And so, like, you don't ever want to, like, talk about any medical reasons or philosophy. You want to stay very focused, right? I have a religious objections to it. You know, the reasons that I put were the fact that they did the research through aborted fetuses. And I also talked about the mRNA, how it could change, even if it just possibly could change your DNA, right? Because they try to rebut it. But even if it could possibly change it, I have to keep my body pure, and I put a couple Bible verses in, and that was it. So, and I teach state schools, Ivy League, community schools, private schools, the whole gamut. They're all, you know, they're all in lockstep, as we know. So
mm-hmm.
I'll shut up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
Much appreciated, Andrew. And,
all right.
You know, if I may, thank you for your service. I mean, that's a difficult thing. You, without, I don't know, getting too far, going too far down the rabbit hole, I mean, that has to be a difficult career path with, you know, kind of the background of knowledge that you undoubtedly have. And so, you know, God bless you for walking that fine line and I'm probably one of the only
professors that isn't, you know, a Marxist. And so mm-hmm. I teach business, I teach marketing, so a lot of, like, entrepreneurial, you know, so some of the things, like, the first thing I ask my students in my marketing class is, you know, we talk about, like, the definition of marketing, and it's basically, it's a free exchange, has to be voluntary between two people, and they both benefit from it. That's kind of it, you know, in a nutshell. And I say, who here, right, raise your hand if anyone here wants to be told how much they can make, you know, and nobody raises their hand.
Like, that's tricky. That's tricky. You can't, I'm just kidding.
There's like maybe five or six times throughout the semester where I pepper in, like, the idea of free market, government needs to get out of the way, and so forth. So,
how would you like it if your whole life was planned for you? Everything, absolutely every, wouldn't that be fun? That would be so exciting.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
I cannot stand the thought of, if you have a four family household gets a two bedroom, you gets this unit with this car, and it's absurd. That's not, bottom line is, right, who put them in charge?
Right, exactly.
Even if it was a good idea, who told you could do that?
Exactly.
Yep. You could do that yourself. You could, they're called gated communities or condo associations, or you do it in a private sense, but not you can't do it in a public sense where you pull everyone in that doesn't, volunteer to go along with it. So.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll let you run. But if you ever want, if you look them up, WeThePatriotsUSA.org, they got a lot of case studies, victories. Mine will be on there. And I'm sure that guy Brian would talk to you anytime you want if you wanted to ping them on through the website.
I just might do that. That sounds like it might be worthwhile. Definitely.
Yeah, you could tell him Andrew from Connecticut. He'll he should know. He should know the deal. All right. Cool. Cool. I'll let you go to the other callers, Chris. Take care now. Okay. Thanks for everything you do. All right. Bye.
You bet. Thank you very much for everything you do, Andrew, and for sharing that information. Much appreciated. That's great. And, my mind is sort of preoccupied with your occupational field, and I am thinking of Michael Tsarian's article, Children of Thanatos. And, not to be, disparaging, but I was thinking, Andrew's probably one of the few people he works with that doesn't have, a shaved, half of his head is shaved, the other half is purple hair, and that sounds like, a disparaging remark, but actually I feel sorry for these people because they don't realize what has been done to them and what they're doing to themselves in the sort of self-perpetuating nightmare. And so as a sort of brief aside from Tsarian's article, Children of Thanatos, jumping in at, given that such a do-gooder is deeply toxic in mind and body, isn't he likely to choose leaders who share his pathological state of being? The key to progress in our world lies in the realization that psychically mutilated people are completely incapable of seeing themselves as sick and wrongheaded. I've talked about the term anosognosia, for example. It's just not possible. Psychically mutilated people are completely incapable of seeing themselves as sick and wrongheaded. Fear and terror is one of the greatest tools in sort of fracturing the mind, and horror movies and things, Stephen King and all of that kind of stuff has been very popular in American so-called pop culture, speaking of the cultural Marxists. Anyway, so the psychically mutilated people are completely incapable of seeing themselves as sick and wrongheaded. It's just not possible. Secondly, it's crucial that the sane person discovers the true reasons for his fellow's deranged state, which can't happen unless he's willing to delve deeply into the subject of psychology, and that's a troubling discussion. Anyway, but continuing, the man who refuses to do so aids and abets his fellow's sickness and becomes party to the crimes they commit politically and socially. But then this sort of punctuates the point. The mutilated person's first crime is committed against themselves. Psychology acknowledges this and attempts to provide tools for insight into the problem. Agree to disagree there. Politics works antithetically, directing attention away from the inner republic to the outer theater of events. The promise that the world can be improved via political action is very captivating, especially for those suffering from psychophobia, hatred of their own selves. And so that's, just kind of putting those two concepts together. The psychically mutilated people are completely incapable of seeing themselves as sick and wrongheaded. The mutilated person's first crime is committed against themselves. Those two thoughts together is why I think it's tragic and sad to watch people who become mouthpieces captivated by this promise that the world can be improved via political action. You know, Tsarian says, you know, their attention being directed away from the inner republic to the outer theater of events. And you can see it. I mean, the self-mutilation we're seeing, I've talked about this recently. You know, there is a real aspect or a real, there's a reality to this. Why so many tattoos? Why so many piercings? Why more with each successive generation? It's because of the trauma, the abuse, and this self-hatred, self-loathing that's inflicted on people. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Be one.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender.
Yeah, and I feel like at that point we insert the Saving Private Ryan clip, you know, the stabbing scene. That's what surrender represents. It's suicide. So, you know, so many warnings. Speaking of suicide, Abraham Lincoln, Lincoln's Lyceum Address, 1838, following less than 12 months after Jackson's Farewell Address, for example, more warnings. And that's what Lincoln said. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. So there is a reality to that as well. And so, you know, as a kind of segue back, I appreciate not only what Andrew shared, but his courage and bravery in staying in the trenches. Man, that's where the fight is. That's where the fight for our best and brightest, our young minds, you know, that's the trenches, man. That's where the war is being fought, for the minds of the children, the young people. And so hats off to you, Andrew, and to folks like you who have the courage not only to speak out and be vocal and in a very, it seems, you know, respectful and considerate sort of way, kind, gentle, but steadfast and resolute. And that is a difficult balance to maintain in this psychopathic milieu, you know, the Marxist bent being, you know, that virulent strain, especially in academic circles, difficult not to respond and become the enemy. So, like I said, hats off to you, Andrew, and folks like you. Second hour coming up. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.